Welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast, featuring advice and interviews about athlete branding. Learn how marketing, public relations, and broadcasting can grow your brand. We also have special episodes to talk about recent news, events, and anything in the world of sports. The podcast is sponsored by Pliable, a versatile marketing, PR, and broadcasting company that identifies opportunities and creates tailored content for its clients. Now it's time to roll. Here's your host, Greg Glenn.
Thanks and welcome here to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast. Greg Glenn with you for another great episode. And today we're going to be talking about writing a book, what it would take for an athlete to do that as part of their athlete brand. Our guest today is Dan Good, and Dan is a longtime journalist and a book ghostwriter. His biography of baseball star Ken Caminiti was published by the Abrams Press in May. He has been nominated for a Casey Award as one of this year's best baseball books. He's also a great guy. I had a chance to catch up with him recently in a networking group that we're part of, and also as a news editor and reporter for outlets like the New York Daily News, New York Post, ABC News, and NBC News. He knows what makes a book and an athlete newsworthy, and we're going to hear from him today. And Dan, welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast.
Thank you for having me. A pleasure to be here.
Well, as we dive in on this subject, you know, there was a lot of talk, obviously, about name, image, and likeness when it came out at the NCAA level. And a lot of people were thinking, how do I get rich quick? And, you know, one of the things I do as an athlete brand advisor is I help athletes with different ways you can grow your brand. And it's not necessarily all about the money. And there's different ways to tell your story. And I thought that as an author who has written sports books before or different subject books, which we'll get in here today with obviously some of the ghostwriting that you do. But I thought that this was a really important conversation for athletes to hear, because having a book is one of the best ways to grow your personal brand or your athlete brand in this case. And I wanted to kind of talk with you, start by explaining the work that you did on this book that you wrote about baseball star Ken Caminiti.
Yeah, I mean, for the Ken Caminiti book, you know, I spent a decade working on it, interviewed 400 people, you know, really kind of recreated his life and tried to make sense of it, you know, and it was really meaningful to track down teammates and friends of his, you know, and trying to piece that together. And the thing I think that really made that book special was the structure and the format and, you know, the way I brought his story together. And the way I was able to do that was through being able to write many books ahead of that. You know, people think this is one of the first books that I wrote. It actually wasn't. I ghostwrote probably half a dozen books by the time I wrote the draft for my Ken Caminiti book. So I felt a lot more comfortable writing books. And I think that made me a lot sharper and stronger in terms of understanding what I wanted to say and getting to the heart of the stories instead of, you know, dancing around and struggling to figure out where I wanted to go.
Yeah, that seems to make sense. And obviously having that experience certainly helps. Now, obviously, with his passing, that probably meant a lot more time on this book.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because I look at the books I ghostwrite and I work on those books directly with the subjects involved. You know, the person whose name is on the cover, I'm helping them to write the story. I'm calling them up. I'm listening to their stories directly. And the thing that was really tough about Ken was he wasn't here. You know, he died almost 20 years ago. And you're trying to piece things together from the public statements he made, from the events in his life, trying to piece everything together. And then, you know, going back and talking to people, and some of their memories are foggy. Some of the things they don't remember the right way, or they remember things that happened out of order or anything else. So you're really trying to piece together what their motivations are, getting the stories right, being accurate. So it was a lot of work on that front, because someone would tell me something, I'd say, wow, this is wild. Now I need to go talk to three other people to see if this actually happened. And if I didn't have it strong enough, I couldn't move forward with the book in that way and say, okay, there were so many stories I left on the floor of that book because I just couldn't confirm it. You know, it was, you know, really interesting stuff, but, you know, just a matter of being able to source it, triangulate it, confirm it in enough places that I felt comfortable being able to put it in the book.
Well, I think that's great that you mentioned that. I think that obviously comes from your journalistic background, which is great. You know, I think that obviously makes you a better writer than some people that might not have that background, because obviously the facts are so important. One of the things that I do when I talk with athletes is I tell them constantly to start journaling. Start writing things down, because as you've identified, and I know this happens, it happens with me. Like, I'll try and remember something 5-10 years ago, and I'm like, what day was that? Or how did that really go? Or somebody else will say, don't you remember this part? And I'll be like, no. So it's really important, as these athletes, even from such a young age as being in high school, start to document the adversity that they're facing, the injury that they had, how they're overcoming it, who they relied on, their coaches, their parents, the roles that all these people play, rather than someone like you having to go back and try and backtrack.
It's so helpful to have that record, because it's so easy as you advance to the next stage, as you succeed, you know, as you move forward with your life, it's really tough to sometimes remember all the little pieces and the issues that you face and the struggles, you know, when you're struggling, when you're in a slump, when you're not playing the way you want to, you know, what does that feel like? You know, that inner feeling, you know, a lot of those things fade and go away over time. And it's really important to have that record, because you never know when you're going to need it. You never know when you're going to rely on it. And I think it's always important to be able to look back and look at the things that you overcame and achieved.
Absolutely. And I wish I had done it more when I was going through high school and college, because I'd have a lot more content now as a business owner. But I also think it'd be great to be able to share with, you know, sons or daughters and, you know, grandkids and things like that. I mean, even just from that standpoint, like, you know, write stuff down, you know, and pictures. I mean, that's one thing I talk about right now with athletes is be grateful that you're growing up in a digital generation. I'm taking pictures that were in my yearbook. Like let's get down to business here, and let's realize that you have a lot of assets, and that those can be valuable for a book.
Yeah, they could. Everything, every piece of our story is important. And, you know, the reality is that everybody has a story to tell, regardless of what that story is, regardless of how big it is. There's a story to tell inside of you. And it's important to be able to document and capture those things, because you really never know when you're going to, you know, look back and say, I needed this. This is important. Those pictures, you know, the pictures, if you don't take them, they're gone. You know, you can't recreate pictures, you know, and trying to step back in time and think about all the things you were dealing with. A lot of times those memories blur and fade, and, you know, people aren't around to be able to confirm things, you know, so it's really important to be able to document and to hold on to those things, because really everybody has a story to tell.
I think you're absolutely right. I tell that to all the athletes I talk to every day. I say, every athlete has a story. What's yours? You know, because, and a lot of them are similar in many ways. You know, they've probably at some point faced some adversity. They've probably had an injury that they had to overcome. They've maybe dealt with some loss. You know, they've dealt with either personal loss in their family life, or they've dealt with a big loss, you know, competitively, you know, that has shaped them into the athlete that they are today. The other thing that I think about when it comes to athletes and writing books is the hurdle to actually start. You know, like, that's the one thing that athletes are really good at, is when they have a game plan, when they know what they need to accomplish, they set goals, and they peck away at those goals, and they're very good at it. When they don't know what to do, because it's an area they're not familiar with, that's when sometimes they'll say, oh, yeah, I don't know a lot about that. Or, oh, gee, that sounds like a lot of work. And I say to them, yeah, well, so is your sport, and you're pretty good at it. And there's people that can help you in your sport, much like a coach or a teammate. There are people that can help you to write a book. You don't have to sit down with a pen and paper or get on your, you know, computer and start typing. It's people like you, Dan, that can come in and help them. So let's have that conversation. What would you say to an athlete who came to you that was, let's say, either in college or maybe had just started their pro career and said, hey, I'm thinking about writing a book eventually. Where do I start, and how can you help me?
You know, I think it's important to understand, as you look at a project, what is the scope of the project? What is the book about? Is it about your life? Is it about a specific season? Is it about an issue that you've overcome? You know, there's so many different possibilities for what a book could be and how it could be structured. And it's really important to be able to have that guideline, to have that that plan in place, to have a picture figured out in terms of the scope of what you're looking at and where you want to go. And I look at all the books I've written so far, and having that game plan in place is crucial, because otherwise you're going to be lost. You're going to be writing things that maybe don't matter to the book. You're going to be all over the place figuring out what is inside the book, what is outside the book. So really the first thing I do is look at what is the hook of the book. What is this really about? And who's going to benefit, and how is it going to help them moving forward? And then I look at outlining, you know, what shape is this book going to take? And having a hook and an outline in place at the beginning of the project is crucial. You know, I know for some of my projects, I've just kind of kicked around ideas. I just free write aimlessly, and then come to find out that all the stuff I wrote was junk. It didn't fit anywhere in the book. You know, it was a nice exercise, but it didn't accomplish anything. And it was really helpful for me to figure out the value of outlining, the value of understanding. You know, you look at a game plan for athletics. You look at, you know, I want to get to this 40 time. I want to be able to play my position better. I want to lift a certain weight level in the gym. You have all these goals for yourself. And I think that it's important to be able to do that in writing too. And people look at a book as this giant thing. This is 50, 60, 70, 80,000 words. Think of it in terms of a couple hundred words. Think of it in terms of sentences, paragraphs, building one on top of the other. You know, this isn't going to be something that you're going to be able to just build from scratch. But if you can devote a little bit of time to it every day, or every week, and set a system in place, set a framework in place, set a schedule in place, that's really going to help. But in terms of ghostwriting, you know, I think it's important to consider the fact that people get help for every single thing in their life. You know, there's so few things that we do by ourselves. Like, obviously, when you're playing in a game, you're playing. There's no one that can help you. You're out there. This is it. This is your performance. Everything else that you do in your life is coached or helped in some way by somebody else. And writing's no different. You know, I think that it's important to be involved in that process. It's important to be guiding it forward, but you want somebody to help you. You know, I think so many people get intimidated by the idea of writing a book, and then they don't ever consider the fact that they could get some help along the way. You know, and with technology the way it is today, with you know, voice to text and transcription services, it really lowers that gap even more. There's so many options to choose from and so many opportunities to be able to write a book in a way that, you know, wasn't really around before, or that just really lowers the level of effort needed to bring this together.
So let's talk about one of the things I know that I'll hear right out of the gate is going to be the cost to write a book. You know, everything from someone thinking, okay, if I'm not going to write it, somebody else is. How much is that going to cost? If I'm not going to, you know, how am I going to get this published? Where is it going to be sold? What commission am I going to make? You know, there's all those kinds of things that they'd probably think about. When it comes to a book, how does it work for you to write a book or ghostwrite a book about an athlete?
Those are all really good questions and really good points. I'll start with one off the top. I think a lot of people look at the book as saying, I want to get back in book sales what I put into the book. And I think that's a huge fallacy. I think the important thing is looking at the doors that will open from writing the book. You might not get a lot of money from the book sales itself. However, writing the book could get you invited to speaking events, could open opportunities that didn't exist before, that increases your profile and then gets you that money. So it might come to you in a different way. But you know, I think there are opportunities that really do open up because of the book. In terms of the ghostwriting process itself, you know, it really depends. Typically, for a traditional ghostwriter project, you know, somebody like me might make somewhere between $15,000 to $25,000 to ghostwrite the book. And that could take anywhere from, you know, 4 months, 8 months, a year. You know, really depends on how committed the person is to writing the book and making sure that you find somebody who's qualified and credible. It's easy to find people on Upwork who can do it for cheaper, but a lot of times you get what you pay for. You might get somebody who doesn't have a lot of experience English may not be their first language. You know, you could have gaps and difficulties on that front. So I would say, you know, 15,000 usually is a starting point. Sometimes it goes lower depending. You know, you might have a lot of, say, YouTube videos that you'll rely on for the book, and you can take those things, and that kind of lowers the cost. But, you know, for a process like this one, you would really... It would be a series of interviews. That's really what it really focuses on, you know, at least at the start. You know, it'd be a series of interviews, conversations, taking the audio from those conversations, you know, reworking them, ironing them out, making them better, sharper, stronger, and then turning them into a book form. And obviously that's going to be incremental, chapter by chapter. It's going to take time. But yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting process and a really empowering process. It's so neat as a ghostwriter to be able to walk with the people I'm working with alongside them, as, you know, I'm helping to bring out their stories and, you know, making their stories really stand out and making them special and making them worthwhile for somebody to want to read.
Let's talk about the length of the book. I think that that's another thing people probably think about. Oh, I got to write 200, 300 pages, you know, like that's the thing. What are you seeing as kind of a minimum, you know, of amount of a book, you know, page amount?
Yeah, and kind of going back to some of the things that you asked in the earlier question too about the process to getting a book published. So I'll kind of answer all those questions. You know, the length really varies. I think a lot of times previously there was focus on making books longer. It has to be 60,000 words. It has to be 70,000 words. And we've gotten to a point as a consumer of content that more words doesn't necessarily mean better. You know, you can tell a story, if you can tell a story in 35,000 words and 40,000 words, and it's sharp and it's concise and it's to the point, it gets the point across. I think readers are really interested in that. So we've seen the length of books shorten, come down, you know, as we're, you know, less focused on things. There's a lot of things pulling our attention away from books themselves. So it's been interesting to see that you can write a 40,000 word book that stands up, you know, and not a 65,000 word book that just has padding at the end because you ran out of things to say. You know, and then, you know, traditional publishing has narrowed so much. You know, the traditional publishing world is ruled by the big five publishers. So you have these big five publishers, and they're very popular. And then you have a lot of independent publishers, which is who I publish my Ken Caminiti book through. They're very respected. They're very trusted. They don't have quite the same reach as the big five. So there's, you know, if you want to go that traditional route, which some people do, it really depends on your size of your brand, your marketing platform. You know, how can you sell this book? That's really what publishers are looking at, because they'll commit resources and money to you if they know you can sell copies of your book. If you can't sell copies of your book, it really narrows your opportunities. And because of that, there has been a groundswell of growth in the self-publishing world. Self-publishing used to have a negative connotation to it, and it's really become a really good choice for a lot of people. There's not as much of a stigma as there used to be, especially when so many people are buying their books on Amazon today. You know, you think of 15, 20 years ago, everybody was going to the bookstore to buy a book. You went to the bookstore, that's where you went. Now it's, you typically are going to buy them on Amazon or another website. And if you're a self-published book, it doesn't matter. They're all available on Amazon. They're all, you know, out there. So it really, you know, it really opens up opportunities. Self-publishing does, and good self-publishing especially, really opens opportunities for people to be able to get their stories out without the gatekeeping that has existed in the publishing world. You know, and I think self-publishing creates so many opportunities for people whose stories deserve to be told, but don't have to wait in line for a publisher to pick up their project, to put it in their schedule, to wait 9 more months for it to come out, you know, waiting for them to see what kind of marketing revenue, advertising spend they're going to put behind it. It's up to you. And that's what's exciting. You know, you get to pick and choose how you go about promoting your book. You get to pick and choose how you go about pushing it, selling it, the price you want to sell it for, and then the opportunities that exist from that. You know, there's so many opportunities that are going to pop up, and that's really the greatest thing, is being able to see those opportunities pick up. And, you know, it's not just the book itself, but it's the interviews, it's the speaking engagements, it's the other doors that open now that you're a published author.
So if someone were to write a book, and let's say they self-publish and they sell it for $19.95, call it $20, you know, yeah. at the end of the day, how much might that person make on these book sales?
It's a good question. You know, with traditional publishing, when you have, you will get an advance. So they will pay you X amount of money before the book comes out. And then you have to make up that money in royalty payments to the publisher before you get paid again for the book, which is kind of screwy. Whereas with self-publishing, you will start making money off of that. You know, I think it's, you know, every 6 months or so you'll get a payout, but you'll get paid off the bat for the book, you know, and it really depends. It might be $3, $5, $7 per book. There's a piece of the book that will go to you. There's a piece of the book that would go to the publisher, you know, and then everything else kind of gets sorted out with Amazon. You know, they'll take X amount, but you'll be able to start making money off the bat. But it's a fraction. It's a notable fraction. It's a good fraction, but it really depends on the amount of money the book is being sold for. If there's any deals in place, it's complicated. It's very complex. But off the bat, you'll be able to start making money back from the sales, which is a big plus to self-publishing. Whereas with traditional publishing, you might wait months or years to start getting paid.
Wow. Interesting. And I think you also bring up an interesting point, which is you mentioned, can you sell your book? Like, that's the key here. And I think that if you look back at somebody who's got a strong social media presence and has built their brand, yes. and they have a presence on social media to be able to promote their book, or as you even said, from a public relations standpoint, go get some media interviews, talk about your book on a TV show, talk about your book on a radio show. That type of stuff really matters. So that's why it's so important, and why I tell athletes, build your brand, because your brand's going to help you sell the book, and then yep. their book is going to help you build your brand.
Like, yes, this is all, it all pieces together. Brand is so important. And I know when we were growing up, no one thought about brand, you know, you didn't think about brand at all. It was nothing. You know, you, some athletes might've been on commercials and that was exciting, but there was no opportunity to build your brand, especially at such a young age, like there is now. You know, that brand is so important, because that brand is what will make people think of you. When something comes up, when there's a topic in mind, you're going to be the first person they think of, which is a huge thing, you know, and putting out a book will further cement you as an expert on that topic, in that field, in that area. You're an expert, you're somebody to go to, and it will help your brand. You know, it's the brand building the book, and it's the book building the brand. They both kind of fit together really strongly.
Yeah. Shout out to Alyssa Bork, who actually wants to be a doctor. She's a pliable athlete. And I had her interviewed on National Mental Health Day by a TV station. She hasn't written a book yet, but she's knowledgeable in that area. And you can imagine how that then positions her when someone yes. thinks of Alyssa. Now they think, oh, she wants to be a doctor. Like yes. that's exactly why I try and help athletes with, this is not going to happen overnight. You have to build your brand. And doing, you know, work like that, getting interviews, and then starting to write books or remember her struggles or remember the things that she's going to go through as a college athlete, and then apply that to her future career is extremely powerful. And, you know, you and I feel the same way on this, which is mental health right now is a huge topic. And if athletes were to write books on mental health, they could get interviews tomorrow.
Yes. It's a huge, huge thing. I know there was a baseball player, Bob Tewksbury, who wrote a very good book about mental health in baseball. There's so much that athletes overcome. There's so much that athletes deal with that no one thinks about. Mental health is a big part of that. You know, you see the players slumping or struggling. People don't actually know the inside game, you know, of what you're dealing with on the field, in the clubhouse, you know, people booing you, bad referees, teammates that aren't getting along with you, whatever it is. There's so much on a mental health side of the game that I think has been taboo to talk about over the course of decades. And I think now we're finally seeing that light. We're seeing it open up, you know, where people are talking about it, which is such a powerful thing. And I think the more people talk about it and normalize it and, you know, are open about it, the better off we'll be. I think there's so much opportunity there. And, you know, being able to be open and real and honest about it is is good for the athletes. I think it's good for all of us to be able to better understand what they're going through.
Yep. And we'll kind of touch on this a little bit because I think it relates to this newsworthy aspect we talk about when you write a book and you then are cementing yourself as an expert in that area of expertise. And for example, with you having, you know, written some books about baseball and of course about steroids in baseball, you are sometimes contacted because the news media are looking for somebody who's got something to say on that topic. And there you are.
Exactly. You know, when news outlets are looking to interview experts on a topic, the places they're looking are YouTube. They're looking at Google News. They're looking at Amazon. They're saying, who has talked about and written about this topic previously? You know, and if you can carve out a niche for yourself and become an expert on a specific topic, you know, with the mental health thing. So there's an interview on YouTube about mental health by the athlete. You know, now someone who's searching for, I need to do an interview on this topic, they're going to say, oh, they did this other interview. They were great. They have exactly the kind of background and experience I need. And that sets you apart. You know, it's really interesting to be able to look at what's happening in the news cycle and understand how you might fit into it, how your topic that you're writing about in your book might be tangential or related to something that's happening in the news, and saying, I'm the expert on this topic. I can talk about this because of X, Y, and Z, because I've already written about this stuff. And now I'm an expert. You know, having a book cements you further as an expert and somebody that's worth listening to, which is a huge thing, especially in this cycle of the easiest way forward. You know, if they know that somebody is already talking about this topic and has a lot to say, you're going to be the first person that they reach out to.
And then you're probably going to be, after you do the interview, they'll want to talk to you even more the next time, you know?
Yes.
So it really works out well. So I think that that's another great example. I really obviously enjoyed talking with you, Dan. How can someone get in touch with you? I know you're active on Twitter, but I wanted to kind of give people a way to be able to find your website, find you on Twitter, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, dgood73, on Substack as well. I occasionally write essays on Substack, Dan Good stuff on Substack. I'm pretty widely accessible online. I'm happy to talk to anybody who has any questions about ghostwriting, books about sports, anything like that.
Well, you've been a great guest, and you're obviously a great author as well. And, you know, I'm excited to be able to work with athletes who I know need to write some books. And so we'll be certainly chatting with you more as we go. But I just wanted to say again, thanks again for coming on the podcast, and keep up the great work.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
You're welcome. I am Greg Glenn. We are glad you could tune in, and stay pliable, my friends.
Thanks for listening to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes from today's episode and catch up on recent episodes at pliablemarketing.com. We also encourage you to share topics and guest ideas by emailing our production staff at pliablemarketing@gmail.com. We love hearing from our loyal listeners and athletes who want to grow their brand. So jump in and be part of the podcast, because that's how we roll.